Hello, I'm Christine, the beauty pro coach, and you are here at the Beauty Pro Podcast. And I'm very excited to introduce my next guest, Brad Poyer. He's gonna correct me on his last name, but AKA the B-Rad celebrity stylist out of Toronto. And you're gonna be very excited to hear his story and where he comes from and what he does. Brad, welcome.
Well, this is great. I love being on your podcast. It's like now I'm used to podcasts. I'm used to talking to everybody else, but I'm kind of not used to everyone kind of talking to me. Yeah, my story is kind of an incredible one. I guess it depends on what people think of incredible or kind of what works, that sort of thing. But I want to say hi to everyone, just introduce myself. So thank you, Christine, for having me on as a guest on your show. So yeah, my name is Brad. It can be Poirier, which is French, or Poirier, which is English. Poirier. So I'm French by birth. And then, so that's my first language. And English obviously is my second language. And I'm also known as on social media, B-Rad Celebrity Hairstylist. I'm a former television host turned podcast host. I have a show called the Hairstylist Empowerment Podcast with over 60,000 on over 40 plus platforms. I love to inspire, inspire the audience and give them a platform for guests like you do on your show to empower and ignite movement within the spoken word. I'm a trained natural builder, which a lot of people don't know. I'm actually, I have a Facebook group, and it's not to toot my own horn or list my, you know, achievements or whatever. Probably by the age of 20, I did enough about the age of somebody 70. So I am a natural trained, natural builder in California, where I lived in a tent in the woods with the bears, mountain lions, scorpions, and snakes. And I built natural homes for people. So if you don't know what cob is, it's earth, clay, sand, water, and straw. So they do have some cob homes in, I believe, England, and they've lasted now over 800 years. Mm-hmm. So they're fully, fully sustainable. I have a group that's not really what we're talking about, but it's just kind of, it's coming out. So I do have a natural building sustainable community on Facebook with a following of almost 6,000 people, and I hardly do anything on that group. So maybe I should teach how to have a group, reach 6,000 yeah. people and do nothing.
Yeah, do it. Do it. I'll sign up.
You know, and I also create like industry events to bring the community together. Right now I'm working on the beauty industry cruises lineup. We have some great ones coming up. I'm also an accomplished author with my book, A to Z of the Salon Professional Self-Care, now available on Amazon. It's getting noticed. And true self-care and stress management are the things they don't teach you in hairdressing school. Mm-mm. Or just in school in general, just to kind of how to, you know, deal with it. What is it? Where does it come from? You know, that kind of thing. And I'm always interested in connecting, collaborating. And I'm so excited to be part of this like-minded, you know, international community that you have, you know, and along, because I know you kind of deal with mental health, things like that. I do have some free courses. One is the 8 steps to forgiveness. And the other one is a self-love letter. So we kind of created about that, because as I say, if we talk about forgiveness, like as I say with my book A to Z, basically you take a letter from each. So each week you take a new letter. So maybe letter F is forgiveness. People think, oh, that's so easy. But when you kind of get into it, you make the list. But there's always one person that you forget always when you're making your list of forgiveness, which is yourself. Right. So I have these 8 steps to guide people that kind of give you some kind of foundation. They're not long, heavy, intensive courses. They're nice. They're lightweight, but they impact. So there's a difference between simple and simplistic. Because everybody, oh, that's too easy. But once you really get in there and you do the work, you know, we can talk a little bit about how the book is laid out. But I've been talking a lot already, and we're just at the intro part.
No, there's so much. Like, There's so much, and like I'm so excited and I'm so happy about those free classes. I'm even gonna do them too. But how do you, okay, let's just like back up. Like, why did you choose hairdressing? Let's start there instead
So
of
I
something else.
originally wanted, I actually originally never wanted to be in hair or be a hairstylist.
Oh my
I know
goodness.
that, I know that's what people want to hear. But for me, when I was in school, they're like, okay, what do you want to do with your life? I actually wanted to go to school and take theater. And that was what I wanted to major in. So of course, being a guy, in the hair industry, it's a little bit different now, but when I started being a guy in the industry, there's lots of, things around that, you know what I mean? Or, and my parents are like, well, you should get a real job, right? So meaning that hairstylist wasn't really any, or sorry, that being an actor wasn't real, a real job, because it's one of those things. When I went to do the thing at the university, they said 7 in 1,000 people get one job. And then there was like 36 extracurricular hours on top of your regular full-time school schedule. Plus, you had to find a job on top of that and that sort of thing. So with hair, the reason I chose hair, I thought, okay, I want to be an actor, but if I can't be on stage, then I can work backstage or get my foot in the door, right? So that's how I got into hair. But once I started hair, I thought, okay, so I started, I thought, okay, I'll do it a year. I did a year, then I said 5 years, and they said 10 years. And then obviously decades later, I'm still doing it. But what I found is I have a great interest for sociology, psychology, and what are we? We're basically like the free bartender for, for our clients. So it encompasses, it had the creative side, but it also had the mental philosophy. Philosophy side, all that kind of stuff when you're dealing with people. And because I was so creative, I actually graduated school 2.5 months early in the top of the class in the class ahead of mine. Because what I did is, because number two, number one, I didn't want to be a hairstylist. Number two, I hated school. So I don't know if this is what your audience wants to hear, but I
This
hated
is so
school.
great.
So I hated school. So the reason that I graduated early is because I hated school. I went all the time. I didn't miss any sick days. I did all the extracurricular. I had all my exams done just to get out. Because I figured, why should I be in school almost these extra 2.5, 3 months when I could be out working in a salon making money? It didn't make sense to me, like, to just be at school. I'm known as the implementer in the industry. So why not get in there? Do as much as you can, get it done. That's why I have such a long list of, accomplishments and all that kind of stuff. And that's, we haven't even scratched the surface with what I've mentioned. But some people, what they do is they take a thing, they say, I hate this. They internalize it, and then they become emotionally sick. They become mentally sick. They become stressed out. They start skipping because it's a defensism, same as like being lazy. Lazy isn't that you're lazy. You just kind of have a fear of, doing stuff or the stress around it. Or some people are afraid of succeeding. That's the biggest thing, because people think you're afraid to do something because you're afraid to fail. Most people are afraid to do something because they're afraid of succeeding, which is insane to me. If you, but a lot of people can't handle success. They just don't know how to, and a lot of people, it really does a number on them too. If it comes too quickly, too fast, it's like building your business too fast, or building your clientele too fast, or building your social media platform so fast, or building your salon too fast. You get overwhelmed because now you have all these people you have to answer to. And social media is one of those big things, because once you start posting, then now you have all the trolls, you have all the stuff, or then you're expected now, what is he or she going to post next? When's the next great post? Oh, I got 300 likes on this, and now I pick the next one, 2 likes. And then you're like freaked out because you're like, where did all those people go that liked my last one that was sharing them, liking them, promoting it? Like, but you really have to know your audience and know your avatar. So your avatar is your person that you're directed to. So you would know for your podcast who your audience is, and you would bring on guests that would complement, empower, and enlighten them, sort of thing. If you're kind of saying, I can do everybody, Maybe you can, but I don't really think you can successfully. Mm-hmm. Yeah, unless you have people in your salon that cater to children, that cater to elderly, that cater to teens that want the funky hair, or that you have a balayage artist, or you have a vivid artist. You know, because somebody comes in and they want a pixie. Somebody wants a balayage. Somebody wants a somebody wants to be a mermaid. You know what I mean?
Right.
And they expect you to have your unicorn in the back with your magic wand, and that you can do that for them.
So, yeah.
So, sort of thing. So yeah. So what turned into a hate for me actually became a love, and I think I mentioned this before. In speaking that mm-hmm. another thing I hated and didn't do well in school was number one was public speaking. And in school, I hated perming. So what do I become? Mm-hmm. I become a platform artist for a company perming in front of thousands of people. So that's like, I guess it was myself showing myself, ha, huh, I got you.
Yeah. For that's so beautiful, because you're just showing that you really can do all of these things, especially if they're not your favorite, mm-hmm. and you're able to like make money off of it and face your fears and get it done and over with, get in and get out. Like you said, the great implementer. But if you could, you have a book. You mm-hmm. have this Hairstylist for Hope. You have mm-hmm. Beauty Industry Cruises, the podcast. You educate stylists. Yep. You mm-hmm. You have done theater, film, TV, all of that. Tell our listeners how you make money doing all of these things.
How you make money. I always believe money always comes through service. Mm-hmm. Always, always, always. As long as you can, number one, so everybody has a need or has a problem. If you can find a solution for them, money will flow to you. If you make money your predominant thing, oh, I need to make money, I'm going to sell more products, what happens is what you're doing to the client. Clients like to buy, but they hate to be sold to. So you can say, like, your boss, you go to your boss, you say, hey, I need to make more money. And what do they tell you? Bring more clients in and sell more retail. This month, we're going to have a contest. Whoever sells the most is going to get this.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, a lot of the stylists, what they do is they go about it the wrong way, and they push stuff on clients that either don't need it, don't want it, or it doesn't suit them. Like, if you have fine hair, you don't want a heavy oil that's going to make it greasy. It's not nice. Then that's going to reflect back on you. If you actually take the time, to me, the best way to make money is to create relationships. It sounds funny, but that's going to carry you all the way through your whole existence. Because when you have relationships, they're going to support you. They're going to be a super fan. They're going to be an advocate. They're going to tell their friends, hey, this person really listened to me. This person saw me for who I am. Because people want to be listened to. They want to be understood, and they want to be loved. Mm-hmm. Those are our three basic human needs. So once you provide that for your client, that's really where your money's going to come. Don't worry how it's going to come. You just worry about being the best and using all the tools in your hairstylist, beauty, you know, professional toolbox mm-hmm. to pull out for them. But the thing is really creating that relationship through your consultation, really listening to them, who they are, and how you bring them out. So my main thing is something kind of that you do as well with mental health. It's us as artists, we're also healers. We're also, and we have many hats that we wear, but we're kind of going back. I think there's a change that's happening, or a movement that I'm kind of, you know, starting the same, okay. like we're going back to being the healers. So like way back many years ago, when we had hair people, they were normally barbers. Mm-hmm. And they were also the doctor of the town as well. Mm-hmm. So you would go in, you would not only go for your hair, but you would also go for healing. At that time, it was putting leeches on you and sucking your blood out.
Right.
We've come a long way to then. But they still entrust us with chemical. Because when you're putting chemical on people's hair, I'm sorry, YouTube stylists, like just going to a supply store and then putting a number of different chemicals on your head and saying, I'm a hair artist. And I know, I believe I've heard somewhere I'm in Canada, but some mm-hmm. places in the US, like they actually they're allowing some people now to just work without a license.
Yes.
So they're getting it deregulated.
Yes.
So with our licensing, we have our licensing for where we are. And then we have something called a red seal, which allows us to, you know, educate all across, you know, globally or Canada sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
You probably have something similar to that there. Everywhere is a little bit different. Like our training is 1500 hours, and then we train for another. Then we do an apprenticeship for 2000 hours after that. So
yeah,
it's 3,500 hours.
Yeah.
So that in itself, you know, I have to watch. Sometimes I get off topic because just so much comes into my head. And I have so much I want to get out there.
No, it's totally fine. Like that. I love it. You're really giving the
you're going to have so much content. You're going to need a whole series ourselves.
Exactly. So it's totally fine. There's so many ways we can go with this. So
yeah.
Since we're on that topic, how do you feel with the deregulation?
I don't think it's a good thing. Like, obviously, would you really want to walk into somebody's shop who has, you know, maybe they could have a family that maybe does it, their friends do it, but somebody that, like, if you want something specific, and that's why people pay us. And that's another big thing is pricing, which I'll cover.
Yeah.
But so with deregulation, when I paid tens of thousands of dollars to go to school, somebody can just go in, plop some bleach on your head, 40 volume, 100 volume when I started. I love 100 volume.
Yes.
So your mom may have had it, you know. But you really have to be skilled in order to do it properly. Like if somebody, because a lot of people, what do they do at home? They use box color. So box color is metallic salt dyes, right? And so it's a basic same. So metallic salt dyes are the same as car paint. And that's really what they're putting on your head. So with our body, because our skin is the largest organ, 65% goes directly into our bloodstream. So when you've got ammonia, you've got all that kind of toxic stuff, you know what I mean? And there's a lot of chemical and that's really what excited me about the business too. I love clients. I love doing hair, but it's really the ingredients that we're kind of using on the clients as well. But those people wouldn't know what propylene glycol does. Right. So propylene glycol, they put in a lot of products, even some food, but generally propylene glycol is what they use in the car mechanics floor to clean up the grease. That's what it's for.
Oh, good Lord, have mercy.
So in chemistry, it's used to support the water molecule inside the product. So it's basically used as a moisture to contain moisture, but it's still propylene glycol.
Right.
Same with sulfates, same with like all that kind of stuff. Because people say, well, why shouldn't you use Laurel, you know, sodium sulfate, right? That sort of thing. So any sulfates are always going to open up the cuticle. They're going to strip the hair, right? Mm. So anybody using anything from the drugstore shelf, you're in the US. So if they go to Walgreens, they go to CVS, they go to like any of those, they grab whatever's on sale. You know, or their friend, like, it's like, hey, for fun, let's dye your hair black. Oh, I don't want to be black anymore. Let's go blonde. And I see so many of the YouTube videos like that. What do? They stick on the bleach they bought from a supply store, you know, or from a national retailer. They put it on. It's a little orange. Okay. A lot orange. And then they kind of, and not a good, it's not a cowboy copper. Let me tell you.
No, definitely not cowboy copper.
And that's another topic, but
that's good.
But that's what I'm saying. So they're doing themselves and literally that hair is melting off, like coming off to them. And that's what I'm saying. If you don't go to somebody, a licensed professional, and that brings us into pricing. So what you're paying for is not necessarily the service, you're paying for the expertise of that person. Like I may have been doing hair X amount of years, but that's what you're paying for. It's like there's I think Bruce Lee had that quote where, you know, it took me 100 punches or whatever, but he had to do the 100 punches in order to get that one. Right. To knock out the opponent. It works the same way. You have to do those years of training so that one time you do that client, it's not the one time you did it. It's the years that you prepared to do their hair that day to get that perfect cowboy copper, balayage, haircut, whatever it might be. And that's part of the relationship. And that's part of really understanding the client, who they are, which you're not going to get with somebody who's deregulated because mm-hmm. they're not trained in the same way. We also have in my school, we have the code of ethics where mm-hmm. you don't share any of their personal stuff. You don't gossip. You don't share politics. You don't share religion, you know, and as I say, you're there 100% for them. And that's the way it always should be.
Right. 100%. Yeah. You know, you spoke before about how you love sociology and psychology and I do too. I mean, that's why I'm a coach, right? Yeah. And I have found that with staff and with especially the new generation coming in, that's like a huge part of what we do every day. Mm-hmm. How do you teach that to this next generation? Or can you even teach that?
Yeah, it can be taught. I mean, but you have to know the person's learnability scale. Like, are you able to learn, and how teachable are you? So, as a salon owner, when I, as I say, had my salon, I had many staff. I had a few salons, more than one. So, as a multiple salon owner, but when I had people come in, they would actually have to come for three interviews. Or three conversations. Yes. So when they would come in, I would meet them initially. You grab their resume and all that kind of stuff. 70 to 95% of a resume is BS. Mm-hmm. So they've done it at a workshop thing, or they said, you know, everybody has interpersonal skills. I can work alone or with others. Like anything they need to say to get you to get them the job, right? And they've said that to everybody. So they're just going to whoever the first person is going to hire them. That's where they're going to go. Like if I offered first before you or you before me, that's where they're going to go. But I really like to get to know them. I don't ask them anything about hair. I ask them like if, I don't know, just weird stuff. If you were in a pink tutu. So I sound like really weird, but I'm kind of testing them, what their barriers are, because this industry demands so much creativity. If you have someone that's not creative and they're just doing box cut after box cut after box cut, but I also have to make sure that they're the right fit, right? So if like I'm the right fit for them, like the salon is the right fit for the stylist, because I think they should be empowered as well, and vice versa, where as the salon owner, is this the right person for you? Where are they at? I'd rather hire on potential than hire on somebody who has a full clientele and thinks they know it all. And they have a lot of ego, prima donna kind of stuff. And that's a big thing, because what is the worst thing that salon owners are doing now? They're putting out ads, hairstylists wanted for busy salon, quote unquote, must have clientele. So if you're that busy, why do you need someone with a clientele? Exactly. That's why they need, because they want to make money off you. And what are a lot of them do? They usually pay you commission. So if you don't do anybody, you don't make any money. But I don't know if anybody else thought that was odd, but that's why. So they're really not that busy. I've been to places and they're like, yeah, we're really busy. I've gone in, because what I like to do, I offer my services for half a day for free. I go in and I work with them. I assist with them. I watch how they are. I get them. And that's part of our second phase that I do too. That's a psychological evaluation. Yeah. So how they are with others. Does the team feel they're part of it? You know what I mean? And then they're coming in. So they don't have the pressure of you know, having to produce clientele. Like also too, when I worked, I trained with the world champion for 2.5 years with my license, sort of thing. So, and I learned under Sassoon system, Vidal Sassoon system, where everything has to be precise, things like that. So when I worked with him, you had to bring in 8 models. So they would know that you knew how to do everything. Yes. Right. So that's another way that we do it. So I can see their cutting skills. I can see their communication skills. I can see their, you know, and obviously too, if they're bringing in a model they know or models they know, they should be already comfortable with them. And also you throw one in they don't know to kind of see how they are. So then the last step is then I talk money. I never talk money before they've gone through the other processes, because they can say, and I've had a kid come in, just graduated school, said, I want to make $1,500 a week, right? And I have no clientele.
That's funny.
So I said, sure, come on board. You know what I mean? So sure. they have to be realistic. Like, I don't mind if somebody has potential. Right. So the big potential to grow, but somebody who has unrealistic expectations from the get-go, you know what I mean? And if people aren't showing up, and because in our shop, we never allowed gossip. We made everything as a team. I worked as a platform artist for 8 years. I competed for 8 years and then worked as a platform artist. So I used to bring my staff all to my shows. They would help me. They would come up on stage. They would like assist, do the rinsing of the perms, doing all that kind of stuff. So then I just cut on the main stage and did, you know, I did perm and stuff as well. But we used to have contests, and like our perm, like our staff could have perms down to 7 minutes full head. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and because time is money, right? But exactly. I also don't believe in double and triple booking. Mm-hmm. Reason is you should, and this is something we talk about on our 12-week changing hairdressers from the inside out, is because the other is service-based. What we kind of promote is hourly, but they're paying for the experience. So maybe a service is locked in there, but, and it may take 4 hours, but they're paying whatever it is, maybe $250 for the, so you're making $1,000 for 4 hours, as opposed to whatever it is for your highlights or whatever it is for your balayage. Mm-hmm. But they're also getting a different type of service. We've now gone through the different elements, like what's the music they hear, what is the fragrance they smell, mm-hmm. what is the atmosphere like, what is the energetic like. Like, you're really connecting with them, you're really getting to know them. You're not like, there's my 930, oh, my color's sitting at the back. That's not a person. That's a label. How well do you know that? And they're the ones paying your rent. They're paying your bills. They're paying your salary. And then, you know, they may or may not tip. I know in the US, a lot, what happens a lot with money is most salon owners will pay their hairstylists less. And then this same with food service, that the people that patron their business are expected to tip to make up the wage. And that is insane. Mm-hmm. To me, I'd rather overcompensate, treat them well, offer education. I'll get back into, when you've found the perfect candidates, then that's when you start their thing right away. Like, mm-hmm. I have a manual for them to learn. You mm-hmm. have weekly meetings. When we weren't busy, which was very seldom, I would put on like Brian Tracy or like some of the great mentor people, and they, like, books on tape or things like that, or they could watch me. But sometimes they don't want to learn from the boss all the time. Mm-hmm. But if people are go-getters, they're going to go to the shows. They're going to I want to work for you even if you don't pay me. Mm-hmm. It's very, I know a lot of people can't do that now, but just to be like part of Fashion Week or to be part of some of these big things. I did tons of movies, tons of runway, tons of film, tons of, you know, you'll see me in a couple of movies. But the thing is, then you get to meet all these people. But a lot of people say, oh, celebrity stylist, who have you done? Anybody in the industry knows that that's part of our code that we don't share,
right?
Because if you came, you're a mega celebrity, you have your own podcast, maybe I do a wig for you. I don't want to say, hey, I did so-and-so's wig, lace wig. Even though us in the industry, you have a friend, they're like, I know who that is. you know the hair. But they're a client just like anybody else, and the way you work with celebrities is totally different than the way you work in salons. Mm-hmm. But get as much education as you can. Even if it's a long 4-hour boring seminar, if you can get one nugget out of that, that to me makes it worth it, that you can apply. And I hope people are already absorbing the stuff, because I'm talking really quickly.
Yeah.
Because I'm excited and I'm passionate about the industry. Yeah, and I'm still doing stuff to connect people. I'm still doing stuff to help people. A lot of times I just give, you know, freely. It's just because it comes to me, and if people apply it, they implement, they're going to get results, right? Mm-hmm. But the thing is, be a lifelong learner, because if you're not growing, and this is another point, is as a business owner or as a hairstylist, if your clientele isn't growing or your business isn't growing, it's because you're not growing. Mm-hmm. You're dying. Mm-hmm. So it can only grow as you grow. as you learn more, as you try new techniques, because obviously too, you talk about social media, talk about that. And those are all stressors. Those are all, as I say, my main thing now is self-care. But for me, with the things that I do now, with the cruises, the books, the onstage stuff, the podcasts that I'm doing, my own like 12-part series that we're doing to change hairstylists inside and out, that's how I'm leaving a legacy.
Yeah.
So this stuff, like what we're doing today, has a shelf life of forever. Mm-hmm. Right. So that's this right. will go on for 10, 20, 30, 40, 50. Well, I won't be there then, but you never know. I'm just the last surviving person on the earth.
You're the OG. So really quickly, like, yep. Let's talk about your failures. What has been your biggest failure and what did you learn from it?
I don't call failure failure. Okay. I believe in good choices and learning choices. So mm-hmm. I believe a failure, because sometimes a failure, maybe not a failure, something else works. My if in a salon business, what I would say is keeping staff too long. So you believe in them, you believe in their potential, mm-hmm. You keep paying them, you keep, you know, that sort of thing, but you have the conversation, but it's never a negative thing. But I always like to then find them something they are passionate about. But for me, I always like to help others. And that would be the one thing. And I'm usually a good, because we're in the people business, usually a very good judge of character. But sometimes, there's not everybody's going to have the same heart as you. Not everybody's going to have the same passion as you for your business. And that's exactly it. It's your business. So don't expect your staff to pick all the slack up that you're supposed to be doing. The big problem, too, with a lot of salon owners, because they're also a stylist, they're being a stylist and then they're letting the receptionist kind of run their salon. Mm. Which you should know everything. I signed all the checks. I had an accountant who did all that, but I would put in the numbers. I signed all the checks. So I knew every single thing that was coming out of my shop. But I think a failure, it's how you determine it. I think for some people too, it's not believing in yourself enough or not seeing yourself as great, because for me, a lot of that borderlines on ego. But I think with that too, you can have an ego of being a great person, but not being obnoxious, not being conceited, not being. So if anything, it's not believing in yourself, maybe having that imposter syndrome, which a lot of us do across the board, who can be amazing, who do tons of talks, who do, you know, now I'm over it. Like, but
it's taken mindset work. Like, you don't just wake up one day and say, okay, nothing is going to bother me today. Like, it doesn't happen.
Yep. Because you have to grow. And the thing is, it's a neuro anchor, and people see, a lot of people like to identify and say, that's just who I am.
Yeah.
No, that's who you label yourself. It's not who you are. You know what I mean? I'm just getting off track. Can you repeat your question again?
So, what was your failure? Your biggest failure?
Yeah. With that failure, as I say, like failing and believing in yourself or imposter syndrome, it takes a lot of growth. And one thing we don't like is we don't like pain. Mm-hmm. So growth and pain, you know, don't really equal. But the thing is, sometimes you have to go through it. Not around it. You have to go through in order to bring yourself up to that next level and do stuff like challenge you. If you're not a speaker, why do you think I did the stuff I did?
Right.
I did the stuff I hated, which I believe I hated, but I really loved. Because in school, what they did is anything you hated, the teachers would book you with all day.
Yeah.
Not to be mean, but once you master that, like, as I say, like as a public speaker, do I look like I have trouble being a speaker now? You know what I mean?
Right.
Because and too, growing up, you have the stuff or people say, we don't want to hear you, shut up. There's all the negative stuff that happens too. So you've got all these things that go on you that you absorb all these other, because a lot of times the stuff people say, people don't really really realize the power in the words, because you have the power to heal and you have the power to kill somebody's dream, somebody's ambition, somebody's self-esteem, or you can build all that up and you can, empower them, you can raise them up, you can do that kind of stuff. So I think what I did is I took my challenge, which is to say, like, I took it more as a challenge than a failure, because if you keep trying until you succeed, then you always succeed.
And
I set the bar low. So the basically for me, if I wake up in the morning, I've already had a successful day.
And if I don't
wake up,
who cares?
Right? then I've left the legacy. But that's what I'm saying. You have to celebrate the small things along the way. Not everything's going to be an overnight success, because if it is, most people won't be able to handle it. And you get an entourage of people around you that are whispering in your ear and usually want something from you. But as I say, it's really knowing yourself, knowing your authentic self. There's just so much, like probably each thing we're talking about, we could unpack in a whole episode.
100%. You know? Like, there's so much in this episode. Yeah. Even I am going to be like re-listening to it. But okay, so moving on, because I know time is escaping. What is, so being a beauty or barber pro for X number of years, we learn things that other professions, such as lawyers, doctors, mailmen, whatever, that they actually genuinely need to work on.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of those things that you have learned that everyone needs to know?
So the first thing is you need to do a self-check for yourself. Mm-hmm. So in the morning, look at yourself in the mirror, say, where am I today? Am I a 10? Am I a 1? Like, am I at 100%? Am I there to show up for people? Or am I like at a 20 because I'm not feeling great? So I need to set some boundaries and ask the client, would you mind if we do a silent appointment today? Because you just don't have that energy, right? But that could be them and out of the business as well. And that brings us to the second thing is boundaries. People don't set boundaries. And that's the biggest thing that causes a lot of burnout and stress and that sort of thing. So boundaries, honoring the boundaries for yourself, setting boundaries for others, whether it's friends, family, coworkers, like social media people, trolls, whatever. You say, I know who I am. I'm my authentic self. I have value in myself. I'm showing up for myself and I'm showing up for others. Because if your pool is empty and you don't know how to replenish, this is in any profession. You're never going to be there fully for anybody else. Mm. Like right now, I'm here. Mm-hmm. I'm engaged. I'm 100%. I'm listening to every word you say. I'm responding. And if I didn't, I'd say, can you repeat that or clarify? Because I want to be with you instead of me going off on some tangents and you ask me a question, I answer something totally different. You know, you're like, blah, blah. And I'm like, yeah, my dog's brown. No, but a lot of people do that in the salon. So the other one is boundaries, but the next one is communication. Mm-hmm. Number one, we don't know how to communicate. We don't know how to steer a conversation. So if a client is all about gossip and this and that, you need to know languaging tools. And same with people. If there's something that you don't really want to talk about and it's none of their business, you have to navigate professionally that, you know, the way they should. Like that could be a mailman at the thing. Like some people are being social, but if you're on a time schedule, sometimes you don't have half an hour to sit and talk and those sort of things. I think you really need to work on your inner, and that really will manifest in your outer. You'll seem more confident. You're a great listener, because if you're a great listener, your clients will have a great experience, because what do they want? They want to be listened to. Mm-hmm. They want to be understood, and they want somebody that I'll say love or cares for them. So by listening, you're showing an act of love, an act of kindness, because you're saying you're important enough to me. So it's not always about me, but this skill that I can transfer by utilizing it makes the client feel, wow, I have the best conversation. And what most people like to talk about? Themselves. So when they talk about themselves, they like, this was a great conversation. And meanwhile, maybe you talked, the client talked 95%, you talk 5%. Right.
But
it's still a great, they see it as an equal balance.
Right.
Which is because we could come in and one day I'm at a 10, you're like, I got you. I'm a 90. So there's our 100. Right. And that works in relationships as well. So if your partner knows and you communicate, or anybody around, or your staff, because you may need a day, you need to be in the office. like, and not with staff. And because you have paperwork, you have things to do, or you just had like, you like, I'm taking this as my mental health day. And that's what people really need to do too. If you need to take time off, take time off. Yeah. So most people don't, because they're so afraid of losing their job if they take one day off. And you shouldn't live in scarcity. I always believe that you should learn the skills to be an entrepreneur, as opposed to being a, not to say an employee is a bad thing, but sometimes employees, they're capped at a certain amount. And if you want to make unbelievable or have your own life, entrepreneurship and a lot of owners, if they're good owners, they'll help you assist your dream. Like, I help my staff get a new car, get a new house, get like, and say, show them the skills to do that. Take 4 vacations a year. What is this stuff about? I can only take a week or two, one every 50 weeks and work 40 to 80 hours. That's unrealistic. Yeah. You need to really take the time to replenish. And if that means going away, if that means going on a beauty industry cruise, if that means reading a book, you know, the A to Z of salon professional self-care, it could be anything, or listening to a podcast or that sort of stuff. Always learn so you're always growing. Get out of your, so the other one, the last, I'll wrap up, get out of your comfort zone.
Yeah.
So whatever scares you, that's the thing you should be doing.
Yes.
Whatever thing you think you can't do or can't afford, you do it. Because don't worry about the how. If it's meant to be and you're meant to be there, there's some synergistic action that happens when you're around other like-minded people from the same industry. I'm already tingling now because I vision it and I can feel it, what it's like, because I've done enough of these that it's, and once we have time, we'll talk about the cruise that we're doing.
Yes. Talk about the cruise. That was my next question. Talk about
So with the cruises we're doing, we have one right now. So it's the end of October. It's October 27th to November 1st. It leaves from Miami and it does the Caribbean. It's the Halloween hairdresser hangout cruise. So it's going to have a fright night. There's going to be a siren ball. There's going to be all kinds of crazy, wild stuff happening, all inspired Halloween type foods, things like that. Because anytime you wake up in a different destination, your mindset changes, right? And so with that, we have a few set for now. We have more coming out, obviously more wellness ones. So one of our next ones is, well, the first one goes to Miami. We have a day at sea, then we're Puerto Plata, a day at sea, and then we're Richard Branson's private beach club in Bimini, which is the Bahamas. And then we're back in Miami. So this is done on Virgin Voyages, which is 18 plus. And so it's all adult. So basically there's a different energy when it's all adult. Mm-hmm. Next we have coming up is
when are the dates for these?
So this is October 27th to November 1st.
Okay.
So it's coming up in like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Yep. 3 weeks. Okay. Yeah. So I'm trying to look at the date and say, what is it? then the next one is, which goes along the line with the 12 week series that we're doing now, changing hairdressers from the inside out. We're going to down under to the Australia. So we're going to do Australia. And with that, we're actually doing live transformations for people.
Wow.
So they can have their live transformed. It's a one-on-one, but we're also doing the transformation of the beauty professionals so instead of just talking the talk, we're actually walking our talk and showing people how to, you know, create these skills, learn about stress, learn about trauma, but actually work all through that. Right. And that's January 27th to February 1st. So, and then come June. So that one's all about mental health. And we're going to deal everything with mental health. Then come June 2nd to 9th. It may change because I just found out that Primo Orlando is the same dates. But I'd rather do obviously be with a great group. It's all about trichology. And we're going to be in the Mediterranean. So we're going to do 9 days in the Mediterranean. So we have Santorini. We'll be in Athens, Greece. We'll be in And we have some overnights there as well, which it's incredible. So basically the way it works is the days you're on land, you're free to explore, do whatever you want, make new friends, bring your friends, your spouse, as long as they're 18 plus with you. The days at sea are the days we have education. And then the evenings is more like social stuff. Yeah. Right. So we got lots of fun stuff planned. I don't like to give everything out because I really like it to be an experience. And the ship itself, it's not a boat. It's actually a super yacht. So we're actually on a yacht, which is totally different. So it's a lot smaller than it's a lot smaller than these mega ships that they kind of have now, sort of thing. Yeah. If we have the time, go over like some.
Yes, please, go for it.
So I'll spill the beauty beans, so to speak. So what you can do, the reason to come, you can unleash your inner diva. You know, darling, it's time to put on that crown. So you got to wear that crown, you know, on your head, unleash your inner diva. Like, our cruises are designed to make you feel like a radiant superstar that you are, from rejuvenating spa sessions. The spa is amazing. Oh, spa.
Oh, man, I love
the Redemption Spa is amazing. So when you go, because they have like an unlimited, you can go unlimited, you pay like the price is nominal, you can go in the wet sauna, the dry sauna, the infrared sauna, there's the cold plunge pools, there's the hot tubs, there's the heated marble, there's the mud baths, there's the, like, and that's all to use unlimited. Plus they have full crystal beds. If you want to get things done on there, they personalize all your facial work. They even have tattooing on board.
So God.
And it's all vegan ink. So it's done with vegan ink, you know.
Awesome.
So with that, there's makeover workshops, obviously in the spa. You can get ready to be pampered, polished until you shimmer and shine like a diamond. You know, I'll say shine like a diamond, not like the song. Right. Actually, diamonds reflect, they don't shine. They reflect light off of them. They don't actually shine out.
Boom.
Those are things people didn't know.
Yeah, you know? That's where that self-awareness, that self-work comes in, because you want to reflect your radiance.
Exactly.
Out.
And that's really what we're doing all day long. We're reflecting others, and everybody is a reflection of us. And we have many facets to us that change daily. And you also kind of learn from the best of the best. So if you've ever dreamed of picking the brains of the beauty moguls, you know, with Beauty Industry Cruises, your dreams are about to come true. You know, we're bringing aboard a lineup of industry legends. So last time we had 16 A-list celebrity stylists that came aboard, and we taught everything. It was like, because the price itself, like, more of these people, even myself, charge more than what the ticket price was. And here you get to be up close and personal, which is, that's what we want to do. We want smaller events that are more intimate. You know, if they're makeup maestros, skincare, you know, hair wizards, you know, ready to spill their secrets and inspire, you know, you to conquer the beauty world. Because what better way, like I said, to learn and grow? And how can you be arm in arm and personable? Like, this really was up close and personal. Like, up close and personal. When you see the pictures, like, we had the Wilsons, and really, you know, he grabbed a student from the audience who was a girl who was new in the industry. He had her come up, and then he showed her, and then it was hand on hand, showed her how to cut.
You see, that is amazing. Yep. And you can't get that anywhere else. Oh, my goodness.
You can't. And say the networking, you know, with the seaside breeze, you know, who says networking is boring? It's not boring.
It's not.
You know, you can swap business cards, but a lot of them have now their code, QR code on their phone.
Yeah.
You should always have a business card or some way for somebody to connect with you everywhere you go. It doesn't matter, you know. And you say, you could be sipping pina coladas, you know, you strike up a conversation, and you as a podcast host, what better way to have guests? Because they're going to be sharing, they're relaxed, you're sipping your pina coladas, you strike up a conversation, you know, about contouring or whatever, or like while you're enjoying the breathtaking ocean views. Like, it's a perfect blend of business and pleasure. Like, like a board meeting like no other. And one thing I hate is board meetings. I hate meetings that I'm bored in. And I hate board meetings where there's four walls. And that's why I like very interactive. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You're also going to have like laughter and lipstick stains, you know? So we believe a little laughter is the best foundation. And maybe that's another thing too. Learn to laugh. Laugh with others, not at others, and learn to laugh at yourself, you know. And our cruises are a haven for hilarity. There's so much stuff that happens. We have people dancing, we have people fun, we have magicians. Last time we had like everything. So you want to prepare for belly aches and laughter, impromptu dance offs. You think, I'm going to a hair event though. We're not showing you what everybody else does, you know, those impromptu dance offs. And yes, like even friendly competitions, you know, to see who can rock the wildest, you know, lip color, hairstylist. You know, there's karaoke, if people love karaoke, there's all kinds of everything there. And because there's no kids, like, you know, after all, life's too short to, you know, for dull moments. You want, and something now a little bit kind of on the deeper side is soul deep connections. So it's more than just makeup. It's more than just hair. Mm-hmm. It's all really about making connections, relationships that kind of touch your heart, you know, swap stories, like you said, share experiences, forge friendships that will last a lifetime. You know, there's something to be said about, you know, shared love for all things beauty that bring people closer together, like mascara on the lashes. Right.
Yeah.
You want to be tight. And if you're waterproof, even better. You know, you don't want a new friend to make you have raccoon eyes.
Right.
That's the wrong circle for you.
That's the wrong thing.
Exactly. So if everyone's ready to sail in the world of beauty, no laughter and adventure, hop on board on Beauty Industry Cruises, like pack your bags with sequins. And that's the thing. So if on Virgin, I wanted to wear a feather boa and high heels and sequins, I'm perfectly welcome to. Nobody judges.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, I wouldn't that's be wearing beautiful. That because I wear black because that's my trade color. But but then anybody can be whoever. And that's your time to express your authentic self. That's your time to reinvent yourself. Because a lot of times friends, family, spouse, they see you in a certain way. Or people said, we always see your hair color that way. As soon as you change it, maybe now you want black. They're like, that's not you.
Right.
But maybe that color you have now doesn't reflect your innards. You know what I mean? So you want to make sure that, like, the laughter, the adventure, you know, you want to make sure that you have your bag of sequins and we'll have some recommended things, but your heart with excitement, and you want to get ready for an experience that's going to leave you with memories as radiant as your highlighter, you know?
So beautiful. I love that, because as beauty and barber pros, like, we are everything. You said it earlier in the podcast, like, we just naturally wear a lot of different hats. Like, that's just what we do. I know for me, I get bored if I don't have a whole bunch of hats. I get like, oh, this is it. This is boring. So I really like how the cruises are that way as well.
Exactly. Because for me and my background in training, I mean, obviously too, I focus for hair. I'm actually a vintage. I specialize in vintage hair and pinup. So that's the era that I teach. That's the era I do. It's passion for pinup. I've done passion for pinup cruises with Pin Twist, which is the world's first longest, strongest back pin. And it's amazing. You can actually put up a whole head of long, thick hair in one pin. And I teach this. I can do a French roll in 4 seconds. Right. So awesome. Like things like that. But because the other is, like you, mental health and wellness. And as I say, because self-care, the things that aren't being addressed in the industry, that's one thing I want to kind of perpetuate. But I hate being in rooms where everybody's sitting, your butt hurts. You're like, I'm bored. I want to leave, but I don't want to look impolite. You know what I mean? So I remember, I'll tell you a story, and you probably don't remember. We've actually seen each other before live. So
oh my god, okay, that's a perfect example.
We haven't met though. So
okay,
I'll tell you where. So it's Premier Orlando last year. We were at the Legends in the Legends speaking. So the there was the four Legends speaking. I was in the end seat in the first row on the left hand side. You were a couple seats back on the end chair. I was gonna come and talk to you because I knew you from social media, but then I had to see like Sam and stuff and talk to some people. But
oh my god!
So I did recognize you there, and I was gonna come, because they did point me out, and I had my cruises shirt on. But as I say, we hadn't met then. But there's lots of people you see, but those are one of those opportunities. But for me is like, is that the right time to meet? Is that the right time to connect? Is that the right time to,
I get that.
Like, you know what I mean?
Get that. Yeah.
But at least I knew who you were already just from your social presence.
Oh my goodness. Thank you. That's awesome. Yeah. Well, next time now we met. So now you can definitely just, hey, get over here.
but those are good things that you're saying because we're relating, but I also, as I say, like it would freak you out. And you were wearing that and you're like, oh, he's psycho. But if you pick up on clues, the same with your client, that you know what their likes are, their dislikes are, or if you met them somewhere, because obviously we're always out. Yes, we're in our salons, but we're also out at the Starbucks or we're at somewhere and people recognize you, but do they kind of look at you funny? Just because they know you from somewhere, but they don't know from where. Right. So that's the thing too. How do you make that impression on that person? I mean, as I say, and that list is say what you would, it's probably a really long list, but those all kind of, when you check yourself out, that also goes into what kind of impression you're going to make. Because if you're at a 10%, you're not going to give the same way to that client. And I don't believe in being fake. No. Don't be fake. Don't be all up and everything's wonderful. If it isn't, be real with your client.
Be real.
Say, you know, this happened and, you know, whatever, without revealing too much, because your client isn't your best friend.
Thank you. That was a question I was going to ask. But
yeah,
I was
they're
like,
never.
Oh, let me pass.
Yeah. So I always believe we have the client, not a guest. Mm-hmm. So if you have a guest in your home, do you make your guest pay for the meal you made them? Do you make the guest pay for the bed they're staying in that weekend? You don't. Exactly.
Words
are they sleeping
matter.
On your massage table? Yeah. So because what happens, you keep, then the relationship is professional. As soon as you cross those border, what do friends do? Not want to pay. They want to hang out. It's the same for an owner with their staff. If you like to go out for drinks, I say that's fine, but be the first one to leave. Mm. Because a lot of them, you go out, say we went out, we got hammered. And now the next morning, one of us is at work all the time. The other person's like, hey, buddy. Oh. And then, you know, I mean, like, then they come in and because we're friends now, they utilize that and they're like, oh, that person's not going to mind. I'm late. You know, they know we were out. No, you have to be regardless of what your stuff is. Yeah. And the last thing a client wants to hear is like, I'm so hungover. I shouldn't be doing your hair right now.
That is the worst thing you could ever possibly
so,
say.
So with that and saying, because it's a client, and it's a business and you're providing a service or an experience, because there is an exchange of money and we're one of the few businesses where people pay us to touch them professionally, appropriately. Yeah. You want to make sure, because as soon as you don't come early for them, you don't come in on your day off, your birthday, you stay late for them, they go off to somebody else.
Yep.
And that's the reality of it. So they then are not a guest. They're, you know what I mean? And people say, how do you make money? But as I say, you really have to. And this is part of self-care, which is improve relationships. So when individuals practice self-care, they're better equipped to nurture and sustain healthy relationships. And that means healthy boundaries with everyone, including themselves. Self-awareness, we mentioned before, self-compassion. Because a lot of people, they don't forgive themselves. They forgive everybody else. They don't forgive themselves for things they think are a mistake. Like I could leave this podcast and you say, wow, it's great. Or it's, and the audience is, wow, he's got lots of information. I could leave, turn it off. And then now the other side comes out. This won't happen. It's hypothetical.
Okay.
That I say, this is, how could I be so awful? I was so stupid. I messed that up. That self-talk, you really have to really improve the relationship with yourself. That's not going to happen. I'm excited. I'm still buzzing with you right now.
Yeah.
So the self-compassion gained through self-care that can lead to more fulfilling connections with others. And that's really, you know, what you want. Some other ones quickly. Yeah. Self-care reduces stress, your mental health, physical health, emotional well-being, improved relationships, like I've just mentioned, enhanced productivity, resilience, preventative health, increased self-confidence, longevity, work-life balance. Like those are all things I can get into, but it's like too much now. But happiness and fulfillment, self-care is not a selfish act. And that's what people kind of like, it's necessary and a responsible way to safeguard like one's well-being. Prioritizing self-care enables individuals to lead, you know, a healthier, more balanced, and ultimately a more rewarding life. So with the show, I actually had my own television show for 3 years, which I was the host of. So it was called The Wellness of Being, with obviously my name. And we actually dove deep into well-being. So we had people who had celiac. We had people who were, you know, I had a dominatrix on, right? Who was
whatever,
a dominatrix.
Whatever you need to get done to have
but, but the thing, but she's now, she's a dominatrix turned coach. Because she knows, because there's a reason that people come to a dominatrix, right? And it's not always for the reason you think it is.
Right.
Some people and clients are like that too. Sometimes they want a dominant hairstylist. They don't know what they want. So they want the hairstylist to tell them what they need, but never be a hairstylist that becomes like that and says, you're getting this. Oh, Christine, great to meet you. You're getting a bob today and I'm coloring it black. And I go in the back and like, that's where trauma starts because you're freaking out now. You're like, I don't want to cut all my hair off. Some people freak when you take dust. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I used to, you know, and one little secret, I don't know, it's out there. I used to do, you know, fake haircuts. So what you do is people say, because you know when it's the right length and they're like, I want shorter. So I would fake cut their bang or whatever. And they're like, it's perfect. I didn't take anything off.
I know. You just.
So it's all psychological. It's all psychological because I knew if I had to cut it, it would have been too short and they would have been traumatized.
Yeah.
So that's kind of another thing. So with, having those guests, you know what I mean? We had a bodybuilder, as I say, who dealt with celiac, who's well known, won tons of, you know, we had people too that did the metaphysical. We had people from hospice. We had cancer. We had like sickle cell. So we really dove deep into all these all these things. You can still see them online. And I also have a group on I have a group or a page on Facebook as well where you can see all the interviews there.
These links are going to be in the show notes because all of this is just so interesting to me. One final question though.
Yep.
What is a question that I did not ask that you wish I did and how would you have answered?
A question I haven't asked. Can I be on your podcast? No, just kidding.
Can I be on your podcast? Because I want to be.
Yeah, I would absolutely say yes. Or as I say, like some people, can we collab? Can we do more stuff? Yeah. How can we empower each other? How can we network? How can we? That's a great question. Networking is one of those things that people don't realize the power in it because you're a salon doesn't mean that you can't connect with a travel agent, a lawyer, a doctor, this, because one thing that the hairstylists are, which they shouldn't be, is an advisor. And they like to tell people what they should do with their lives because a client is venting and they're saying, well, my boyfriend, my husband, my girlfriend, well, you should do that. You should leave them. with no background, have a network of people that you can say, hey, I know a really great person that can really help you with an escape plan. Here's their number. Because that's the one thing too. I'm also trained with abuse as well. That happens because sometimes you have a client in a chair who's being abused, a child being abused. We have to be able to know, you know, when it's happening, but we also have to know our things too, that we're not licensed. We're not to speak on that. The same, we're not medical doctors, you know, because you can't, and a lot of groups are that. People show a picture, what's this? Oh, you have this. Oh, you have that. You have, especially when they show the bumps from the clipper and whatever.
Yeah.
And they're like, you got this, you have that. You need, it's like, stop it. Stop it. Like,
stop just diagnosing.
Yeah, stop doing that. Because those lawyers, travel agents, whatever, you can refer them, but they can also refer people to you. Right. Or the best one, I don't know if you have this in the US, but a lot of times they have something called Welcome Wagon. So anybody new coming into town, they always go to the real estate agent and then they're here and they're going to say, if you do a good thing with them, they're going to recommend then, you know, which doctor to go to, which restaurants to go to, which salon to go to, all that kind of stuff, because that's part of your relationships that you need to do. And because that's going to be long term. As long as they stay open or if they move, you can still connect with them because everybody thinks it's inside the salon. And I'm going to connect with, and one thing I have to bring up, this is coming to my mind. It's not in regard to your question.
Okay.
Hairstylist, this is part of networking though. Hairstylist, when you have your social media, especially Facebook, stop inviting other hairstylists to your salon page.
Oh, pet peeve right there. Okay.
Reason is you want, like, I could have 10,000 followers, but how many of those are actually paying clients? Exactly. You want paying clients.
Yes.
With Christine, it's different. You want salon owners. You yes. want hairstylists because that's your clientele.
Right. Exactly.
But your salon page wants clients,
I want clients.
For the staff. That's so you right. have to know if you're a coach, mentor, anything like that. Obviously, I with the cruises, I'm going to promote the cruises to an audience of salon owners, beauty professionals. Mm-hmm. But my salon, I'm not going to. I'm going to promote to in my area, outside of my area, because why would I go to your salon when I can do it myself or have one of my staff do it?
Right.
Right. Unless that stylist wants to be a client, just be a client, go right. out and do that kind of stuff, because it's really not building. I know it's stylists can support you, but mm-hmm. getting them on and not having a paid clientele, because you said, how do you make more money? Mm-hmm. Stop inviting them to your page.
Right.
Because they're not going to send more clients to your page. They're going to send them to their own page.
Right. And then also the algorithm is only going to show your page to more of the same.
Exactly. Because if you're not getting engaged, and it's not about the numbers anymore. At one time, it used to be about the numbers. Same with being a, if you wanted to be contacted by companies, you had to have at least 10,000 people or more for them to be interested. But mm-hmm. a lot of people were buying followers and everything is filtered. Almost everything is filtered.
Yes.
So for me, you're going to get an unfiltered mouth. I don't swear, but I tell it like it is.
That's
but,
right.
But if you want real things to change your life, change your business, that's really it. Really know who your avatar is. And it's not other clients. And that's a bonus nugget of how to make money.
I love that.
Like really know, you know, who
know
to.
Your know your people.
Exactly. I'm so excited. I just want to talk to you for hours. I know we have to leave here.
We got to go, but yes, I want to do it.
Well, I'll bring you to my home.
And
so
we'll
then
talk.
We'll announce it and then we'll have you on.
And
then because I have so many more questions for you.
Okay. Let's
and you
do
can
it.
Talk 95% of the time.
So
yes.
So that is a wrap. Thank you, Brad, for being on the Beauty Pro Podcast. Until next time.